And I said, one, I'd like to. And I said, one, I'm not sure about. And so this morning, this is the not sure about. It's the one God said that He wants you this morning to hear, for you this morning to apply to your life. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John, the 10th chapter, in verse 8. John, the 10th chapter, in verse 8. I want to speak today on your potential. Your potential. That's an odd word because it really doesn't say anything. It just gives the opportunity for something. In other words, you can say it this way. I can have a well outside my house. I can have a stream that runs right by. I can have all the potential to have water in the house, but I may not have a drop. Everything is there. Everything is supplied. There's no real excuse. I've just got potential. We say that about kids as they're growing up, and a lot of us in here, we heard teachers say that about us. Some young people have heard that recently in their lives. You've got such potential. You can do anything you set your mind to. That doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just means that all the tools and everything necessary is there. In fact, the word potential literally means this. The possibility or the likelihood of future development or achievement or fulfillment. It's the whole of what a person might be and what a person might do. It's the whole of it. All the pieces are there. Our family growing up loved to do puzzles. That was our thing back before Game Boys and all the Xboxes and all the things. Puzzles was our thing. My mom wouldn't buy some 25-piece puzzle. We do that today. We buy these little 25-pieces, put it together in 5 minutes. Okay, we did a puzzle. No. My mom would buy 1,000 to 2,000-piece puzzles. Them little pieces would be so small, you could barely tell the difference between one and the other. And she would take it, and on our big table in the living room or there in the kitchen, she would dump it out. And one by one, we would all go by. Sometimes two or three of us would sit there together, and we'd just take one piece at a time. You'd just try one piece at a time, and you'd keep putting it together. And finally, somebody would say, hey, I got about 10 pieces put in this thing this week. And it would start to show more of a picture. All the potential was there. It was on the table. It was always there all the time. The problem was, until somebody decided to work with the potential that was there, nothing was going to happen. And one of the greatest joys was when we finally got it put together and we would take poster board and glue it to it, because it wasn't something you just wanted to throw away or something you just wanted, because it took weeks and it took hours of time to get that thing together. So you wasn't just going to say, well, let's bundle it back up and put it in the box. Oh no, we're never going to put this one back together again. We're not tearing it apart. It is done. We are finished with it. All of it's done. We're not going back. We are going to live in it right now. In John, the 10th chapter, Jesus is trying to describe the same thing to a group of people. He's used illustrations. He's used all sorts of things to let them see it. And finally, He just comes straight out. And He says, let me explain this to you and let me say it to you the best I can. So Jesus said, beginning with verse 7, so Jesus said, I assure you, most assuredly, I tell you that I myself am the door for the sheep. He's talked about a doorway and sheep being protected and all this. And He says, look, let's just throw all of this to the side and let me just tell you straight what I'm saying. I am the door for the sheep. All others who have came as such before me are thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to and obey them. There are people that have said, you know what? I'm in this religion. I'm caught up in this cult, or I'm caught up in this. They may be today saying, you know what, I'm Buddhist, or I am this, or I believe in Allah, or whatever else they call it. And they go about it and they try to convince themselves that it is good. They'll blow themselves up, or they'll do all types of rituals. But the fact is that Jesus came along and said, listen, everything that's ever been said before me and anyone that's ever going to come after me, they are a thief and a liar. They are trying to steal from me or from God what they cannot steal. And that's what makes the problem. People will say all the time, well, we need to get along. And I do. I'm not in any way trying to hurt anybody or to cause problems with anybody. But I must tell you the truth that there is only one door that was ever provided for the world to get to the Almighty God. And His name was not Muhammad. And His name was not Buddha. And He was not Hare Krishna. His name was Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no other name before Him. There's no other name in comparison to Him. When His name is spoken, demons tremble. The world can't stand it. It causes convulsions within everything, even down to nature. That's why there's not a problem if we have other religions, because there's no power in that name, so we don't mind it too much. But let someone stand up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I tell you, they're going to see this. And people will say, we don't want you to use that name. Just say God. Just say something, but we don't have to go that specific. But the Bible says that in the name of Jesus, everything is possible. That when that name of Jesus is invoked, all of a sudden, demons have to move. Things have to take place. All of a sudden, you can do mighty works in the name of God through the name of Jesus Christ. He's our doorway this morning for accomplishment. Now listen, He doesn't stop there. He said, I am the door, and anyone who enters into me will be saved or will live. He will come in and He will go out freely and will find pasture. As a sheep, you would say, I'm finding all that I've ever wanted in life. A sheep doesn't walk around saying, I wish somebody would give me a cell phone. I wish somebody would give me better. No, a sheep's head is down, it's walking around, and man, if it could ever run across a big old patch of grass, it's thinking, oh, I'm in heaven. I'm in heaven. And so when Jesus said that, He understood clearly. He said, when that sheep goes out from me, he will find the pasture that he's looking for. He will find all the liberties and all the joy so that he doesn't need any other pasture and he doesn't need any other grazing place. He doesn't stop there. Notice this now. The thief, meaning Satan and this world system, comes only in order to steal and to kill and to do what? And destroy. But I have come that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, or in paraphrase, to the full till it overflows. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd risks and lay down his own life for the sheep. Jesus said, I'm going to make it very clear to you. If there was any other way, I would tell you. If there was any religious system, I would tell you. If you could bow down and pray 8 times a day and somehow you're going to have a breakthrough, I would tell you. I would tell you if you could cut yourselves enough times and you, God would say, boy, they punished themselves enough. I love them now. I would tell you. He said, but I've come by to say that I am the only way that there will ever be. That if you ever want to know what it is to be truly saved, you will have to come through me. If you want to know what it is to truly be free, you will have to come through me. If you ever want to see your full potential, if you ever want to see your life fully blossom and become everything it possibly can be, it'll have to come through me. Anything else invokes the enemy. Anything else invokes the world, and it invokes a system into your life that has only one area of expertise. It only can kill, steal, and destroy. See, that's the one thing that I can tell you. It doesn't matter if somebody says, I want to be a movie star. I will look at them and say, it will kill you, steal from you, and it will destroy you. No, I'll get my picture taken. You'll get all of that. You'll get your picture in GQ. You'll get this. You'll be in movies and people will remember you for 100 years. They remember Marilyn Monroe, and you can go into Walmart and still buy her pictures. But nobody ever puts the picture of her dead in a bed, no clothes on, overdosed on drugs, because that's the way she went out. They wanted you to see her smiling, and they want to see, but that wasn't her. The real her had been stolen, the real her had been killed, and ultimately the real her got destroyed. They want to show you Elvis Presley and show you his old movies back in the 50s and smiling and singing to pretty girls. And man, I'm telling you, Elvis was the bomb. But they won't show you him dead on a bathroom floor with a Bible laying next to him and a Scientology book laying next to him trying to figure out what life's all about. Dead, overdosed on drugs, and there he is laying there. They don't show you that. That's not the picture they want you to see. But when life was through, he was dead, killed, and destroyed. And Jesus said, anything you take besides me will leave you in that position. You may be a good person. You may be good-hearted. You may not mean to hurt anybody. You may not have meant to cause all the problems you did. But I'll tell you this much. If you invoke this world and you allow the devil into your life, he only has the potential to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he can do. That's all he knows how to do. That's all he gets pleasure in doing. The world tries. They say, well, will you use this drug? But it doesn't matter if you take a drug to make your hair grow. There'll be a prescription on there that'll say, but it will cause this. It can ruin your kidneys. It can cause liver disease. It can't, because it doesn't matter what it tries to do in its own power. If it tries to make one thing better, it will destroy something else. It only has the power to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all it can do. Say, well, I just want a good life. I just want to have money, and I just want to have this. That's fine. But just understand, it'll kill, steal, and destroy the relationships that you have. That's all the world can do. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it in full abundance, to the fullness of joy that you can accept. I mean, flowing, overflowing with fullness. That's life. Now, I want to show you how this works in reality. Go with me to Mark, the 5th chapter. This is one of my, I guess, if there's one chapter in the Bible that I consider my favorite, Mark, the 5th chapter, is my favorite. You can just scribble that down, pastor's favorite chapter. Because inside that chapter is more than enough for me to live victorious. And I'm going to try to tap into a few things this morning that maybe you have or have not heard, and just try to relate some information that might help you in this understanding. Because Jesus came that you might have what? And have it more. That's His job. That's what He does. That's who He is. And so the 5th chapter has the man who is possessed with legions of demons. And Jesus cast them out, no problem. Lets you know right off the bat that, you know what? There's no spiritual power in this world. There's no power that comes against you. There's no devil that rises up. I don't care how bad Hollywood makes the movies look and how bad it is. He said, when I step off the boat or I put my foot on that spot, do you understand that it doesn't matter if 1,000 demons come at me at one time, all 1,000 of them hit their knee and all 1,000 of them plead that I won't hurt them. All 1,000 of them realize that I'm the baddest man in the room. Do you understand? I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the way. I am all powerful and almighty. If I want water to hold me up, I just walk on it. If I want anything to happen, I just tell it to happen. I am that mighty a man, and I walk and I do as I am told to do, and I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So He sets this man free. But the story is not the one we want to deal with. We want to deal with the fact that when he crosses back over to the other side, he gets off of the boat, and now two specific women come into his life. Look at the person beside you and say, there were two women that transformed this story. Now, you're going to hear it said that they're not women, but really they are. And I will show you. There's a specific problem that is going on. The Bible says that the leader of the synagogue, Jairus, go with me there to Mark 5 and verse 22. I don't want to cover this too fast. I want to deal with this in chunks. Verse 22. And one of the rulers of the synagogue came up, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he prostrated himself at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd kept following him and pressed him from all sides. Now I'm reading from the Amplified. You see it from the King James. Here's what happens. Jesus steps off the boat. He's already done defeated all these legions of demonic spirits, and he's all powerful and almighty. But that's not our real problem. It's not really the biggest problem we have. We have problems of diseases and problems of sickness and things that go wrong in our lives and things that hit us all of a sudden. And there's a specific point here we need to realize, that there is a little girl that Jairus says, my little girl is sick. She's at the point of death. We cannot break her fever. We cannot do anything. We've done everything we know to do. And if you will come and lay your hands on her, I know that she will be made whole. Now, I want you to go to verse 42 with me, and I want you to read this verse with me. Chapter 5, verse 42, because before I can go any further, I've got to skip to here. And straightway the damsel did what? Arose and walked. For she was what? Of the age of... And they were astonished with great astonishment. Go with me to verse 25. And there was a woman who had an issue for 12 years. Every number has a powerful meaning in the Jewish life and Jewish understanding. There was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. For 12 long years, she has suffered slowly but surely, declining in health and declining in ability until she has reached the point she has spent all that she has. There's nothing left. I don't have any money. I don't know any more doctors. They've done all of this stuff to me. They poked me, prodded me. They gave me to drink this. They told me to take this. They told me to exercise. They've told me everything they can tell me. In 12 years, I've done it all, and I am no what? Better. I am even growing worse and weaker by the minute. And after 12 long years, I have had all I can take. 12 is the number of maturity or the number of fulfillment. What is potential? It is when I can reach my full what? Potential. When I can reach my full ability. When I have the greatest opportunity to achieve. And they understood this lady is a signal of us saying, listen, when you have reached the point of maturity, it may not be 12 years in your life, but it will be an understanding of 12. It will be to the point to where you have to say, God, I can't do anymore. I can't figure it anymore. I don't know how to make my wife love me. I don't know how to make my husband come around. I don't know how to fix my kids. I don't know, have any more ideas. I've sent them to counseling. I've done this. I've prayed. I've fasted. I've done everything I know to do, and I've reached full maturity in this problem. I've done reached the point to where I don't have any more answers or any more problems to solve. I don't have any more pieces to the puzzle. It just won't come together. I can't figure it out on my own. And Jesus said that's a good place to be, because when you reach that, then you begin to understand what John 10 is saying. He said, I am the door. When you've tried every other door, you'll realize I am the only door. When you've tried every other person, you'll find out I am the shepherd. When you've done everything you know to do, when you've tried everything everybody's given you advice to do, you'll finally come to a maturing state and say, I need Jesus. I need Jesus to heal me. I need Jesus to fix it. Jesus is all I got left. He's all that can come through. If He doesn't come through, nobody else will. Because at maturity, you will do what you won't do in immaturity. Yesterday, my kids, we were getting ready to leave. And my boy is growing up and he's starting to enter into this man mindset and he's growing up and that's just part of it. And so then you have to act like a man. You have to walk like one. You got to talk like one. And so we were getting ready to go and there's still spots there where he's young and he's not fully matured. So his uncles were talking. We were fixing to go. His mom says, hey, go tell Uncle Terrence, Uncle Levi. And he's like, well, they're talking, Mom. They're talking. Because as a young person, you know, you don't disrupt them. You don't bother them. But now, us who are mature, we just walk, hey, I'm leaving. Y'all can talk when I'm gone. I just thought I'd let y'all know I'm out of here. Don't act like you don't do that, because when it's time to go, you just say, hey, I'm out of here. Now, kids don't do that. Kids don't do that. They don't want to be disrespectful. They're tall. I don't want to buy. But as being grown, and that's what I looked at Taylor. I said, Taylor, just walk up and say, hey, I'm out of here. And you can see the look on his face like, I don't know if I need to do that or not. But he did. And as soon as he just walked around, I said, guys, I'm gone. Boy, they both stopped talking, hugged his neck, and said, hey, we'll see you later. Maturity, there's things you do at maturity you just don't do as a child. That's what frustrates us so many times, because we think, well, I just don't get this thing, and I'm just not having the breakthrough. It's because you're not mature enough yet. You still live with it. You'll still endure it. But I'll tell you what happens when you get to maturity. You'll stop playing and stop worrying about what everybody else thinks. When you're old, you wear black socks with tennis shoes and a pair of shorts, and somebody can say something, and you're like, I care less. Your kids look at you and say, you're embarrassing us. You say, I don't care if I embarrass you or not. I done my years of worrying about what other people thought of me and whether my legs look pretty or whatever. And you know what? I'm done with all that. I'm done way past that. I'm grown up now. I don't have to worry about what I used to worry about. If they don't like me, they just not talk to me. But this is the way I run. Yeah. It's just the way I am. This lady has the same mindset. It took her 12 years to get there. Jesus has been ministering for years, months in their area. He's been around the Sea of Galilee. She could have hitched a ride and got to Him at any time. But there was a moment in her life where she finally coming back from the last doctor's trip, when she could say to herself, I've got nothing left. I've got nothing I can do. And then it hit her. Then she got the mindset that I will go to Jesus and I will touch the hem of His garment. And when I touch the hem of His garment, I shall be made whole. I'm not a kid anymore. I'm not playing this thing anymore. I'm telling you, if I can just get to Jesus, I will be made whole. I will be healed. I will be set free. I know that I will. How does she know that? She doesn't say I got to talk to Him. She doesn't say I need to have a visit with Him. I don't even need Him to know who I am. I'm just going to sneak up there and I'm going to press through any crowd. I know I'm sick. I'm not even supposed to be in the crowd. But I really don't care anymore. If they stone me, I'm going to die anyway. I just want to go out trying to get to Jesus. I don't really care what people think. I don't care the way I'm dressed. I don't care all the opinions. I got to get to Jesus. Maturity says, I know the door. I know the way. And I'm not going to listen to any other voice. That's what he said in John 10. That's what he began to say. He said, they know my voice and no other will they follow. When they're through listening to everybody else, when they're through talking to mama and they're through talking to everybody else's opinion and they're through buying the self-help tapes and trying to fix all their life, they'll finally realize that I am the life fixer. I'm the one that came to give you life and to give it more abundantly than anybody else can come up with. When you get that, you become like that lady. For her, it's 12. 12 years, maturity. Now, I don't really care what anybody else thinks. I don't care if you know I have a problem or not, as long as it's gone. See, I got people that I don't want to know what I used to do. You ain't had it long enough then. But I'm going to tell you, I had mine long enough to where I don't mind bragging about what God took away from me. You got to have it long enough to where it's done matured. It ain't funny no more. It ain't worth hiding anymore. It ain't worth joking about anymore. It ain't enough trying to lie about anymore. It's time to deal with it. And this little lady decides, I'm mature enough to go get what I'm supposed to get. I got potential. Look at that person beside you and say, I got potential. And the devil is trying to kill and rob and steal all the potential in my life. I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to put up with it. And she presses through that crowd, as weak as she is, and she grabs that garment. And the Bible says that Jesus speaks to her later, a few verses later, and says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Damsel, daughter, you're done. You got it. Because now you can reach your full potential. Verse 36 kicks us back into the story of Jairus. Jairus sees her, his daughter, as a little girl. Is she a little girl or is she a woman? Let's understand that. What age in the Jewish law do they become men or women? She's not a little girl. Jesus at the age of 12 was carried the first time. At the age of 12 is when they have bar mitzvahs. At the age of 12 is when they're considered maturity. It's when women can marry from the age of 12 on in their culture. Because at that point, they can have children. They can start being moms and dads. If you ask about Mary, many theologians say she was somewhere between the age of 13 to 15 years old. She was very young. So everything Jairus is saying, he's looking at this and he's saying, listen, for 12 years I have raised this little girl. For 12 years I have changed diapers. I have helped bathe her. I have walked her and took care of her. And for 12 years I have nurtured her. That's my little girl. And I have done everything I know to do. And I have saw the potential in my little girl. And now all of a sudden, I just see my little girl there dying. And I need you to come and heal her before she dies. But something happens. They don't get there fast enough. This little girl, according to the men that run back to him, because there's those that are taking care of her at the house, while Jairus goes and gets Jesus. But what happens is, somewhere in the process, she has now stopped breathing. She has died. She has gone. And some of the men come back and they leave the house and they say, look, we need to catch Jairus. We need to tell him. And there's no sense in bringing that prophet here because it's not going to do any good. She's not just sick anymore. He might could have healed her when she was sick, but she's dead now. And they come back to Jairus and they say, Jairus, don't bother him no more. Let it go. Let it go. the daughter, the little girl, is dead. What do you do at that moment when the world says there's no hope? What do you do when they say you'll never get there? What do you do when they say, hey, at one time there was potential, but I don't see any way of you getting out of this one? Your life will never be the same. Your life will never go back. Your life will never be put back together. The pieces of the puzzle now are gone. There's no way to ever fully put it together. And Jairus' head goes down. And Jairus is thinking, I guess I just need to quit. But Jesus leaves inside of him potential. Jesus puts inside of him a speck of potential. He looks at him and says, listen, Jairus, don't worry about everything else you're listening to. Only believe. Jairus, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care about all the things that people have spoken over you. I don't care if they say she's not breathing. I don't care. Jairus, this is the point where you've got to decide, can I be mature enough to walk this thing out? Can I be mature enough to see my full potential? And he says, Jairus, if you can just believe, all things can be possible, Jairus, if you can just believe. Don't let go of believing, Jairus. Don't let go right now. You're at a point, yes, it's bad. Yes, the enemy's done come into the camp and he's done stole everything. But if he could have stopped Jairus for just a second, he would have said, you know what? A few hours ago, there was a legion of them that thought they could stop me, Jairus, but they couldn't stop me. Jairus, do you realize a few minutes ago, the doctors couldn't cure what this lady had. There were 12 years, but Jairus, all she had to do was be in close contact with me and touch me, and she was made whole. Jairus, this is a moment of your life. You've got to have potential, and you got to realize that I'm the one that can give that potential life. I'm the one that can give you life and give it more abundantly. I'm the one that brings the potential to being a reality. I'm the one that brings it full circle. I'm the one that takes Tim Lott, who's a D student in Eupora High School, and people say he'll never amount to anything. And I'm the one that says, listen, I put potential there. I just need you not to quit and don't let go. Just keep walking and believing. Just keep praying. Just keep seeking. Just keep looking. For those that seek me shall find me. Those that look for me, they'll run into me. Those that knock on my door, it shall be open unto them. I need people who realize I got potential and I'm not going to watch it die today. Not going to watch it die today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe when God is ready. But not today. I'm not dying today. And Jairus marches on with Jesus. Confused. Troubled. But Jairus is missing something about Jesus that he doesn't understand. Jesus will raise two other dead people that we know about. One is when he's walking along and he sees a widow whose only son has died. While they're carrying the funeral procession by, the Bible would say of him in Luke, I believe the 7th chapter of Luke, that at that moment he looked on them and you could tell that he had compassion and it broke his heart to see that mom having to walk out with that boy. The Bible says he stops the funeral, reaches over, lays hands on that young man, and that young man comes back to life. He raises him up and he doesn't just do it and walk away. He presents him back to mama. He says, here's all the potential that you ever want. Here's everything you dreamed of. I'm not going to let it get stolen from you. We know of Lazarus who had died, and he could have showed up then on time, but delayed 2 days to make sure that all was in fulfillment, that Lazarus had died, that they had buried him, that they had already put him in the ground. And then people come to him and Mary and Martha, and they say, if you'd just been here, if you'd have just been here. And he's saying, I am here. He says, don't you believe in the resurrection? Oh, we understand the resurrection. We understand that one day we'll all rise and we'll all go to heaven. No. I am the resurrection. You're not catching full potential. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the light. Everything other than me is a lie. Everything other than me is a lie. If I said it, I don't care what astrology says. I don't care what some scientist comes up with. I don't care if they boiled this and screwed that together and all of a sudden came up with a new theology. I'm telling you, if I said it, then that's exactly the way it is. Don't you worry about it. It will be proven in time. It will be fulfilled in time. I love science so much, they can't help but stumble over themselves every single step of the way. The more they try to disprove God, the more they keep proving Him to be God. Now they done come to a point to where they're fussing among themselves because a group of scientists are saying, we got to preach creative design. We've got to, because we've done put all the figures in this thing, and I'm telling you, you can't just all of a sudden happen up here. We didn't just arrive by accident. Something happened. Somebody did it. And you got a group that says, I'm not going there. I won't claim there's a God. Won't say there's a God. But you got to. Look at the trees. They didn't get here by accident. Look at the water. It didn't arrive. Of all the things we've studied, all of a sudden you're telling me there's not something out there? And they hate God so much that they'll say, we'll believe that some alien showed up and started this thing before they'll believe a God showed up and started this thing. That's how messed up. And I just laugh along the way and I say, one of these days it'll all be proven out. It'll all be said that everything He said was completely true. That's where we're at. And Jairus stands there and has to decide, am I mature enough to handle that? People in this room today, you've got problems, your marriage, your life, your kids, your job, your things that are being robbed and stolen and things that haven't been fulfilled. And all of a sudden, God stands and He says, are you mature enough to walk it out with me? Are you mature enough for me to raise it? Do you know who I am? Am I the door of your life? Am I the way in your life? Am I the only way in your life? Or have you got a plan B and a plan C? I'm telling you, I'm either the way or I'm not a way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am everything. You've either got to let me be God or not let me be God. And it's going to cost you some things. Jairus now is the ruler of the synagogue. He's got a political position. Imagine when he comes walking home. Prophet's still behind him. Jesus is still walking along. Jesus has done told the crowd, you stay here. Peter, James, John, you're the only ones that go with me. I don't need a whole bunch of crowded around this house. He comes walking in. You can hear the wailers. All the members of the synagogue, the ladies of the church, done got together and started crying and wailing. Oh. Oh, she was so beautiful, what she could have been. We feel so sorry for you. And here comes Jairus and his wife walking in. And Jesus comes walking in. Jesus doesn't waste any time. He looks over at them. He says, why don't y'all hush? Why don't y'all hush? This little girl's not dead. She's just sleeping. And I've come to wake her up. That didn't go over too good. Now, Jairus could have looked at him and said, now, Jesus, don't hurt these ladies' feelings. These are my friends. I got to live with these, for they live on my street. But Jairus is doing everything he can at that moment to walk in maturity. Even to the point when Jesus says, why don't y'all just get out of here? In fact, I really don't need y'all in this room right now. You kicking us out? No, I'm not kicking you. I'm just asking you to walk out. Peter, James, John, y'all please help these lovely ladies be escorted out of this room. Can you imagine a conversation out in the hall? What are y'all doing? He kicked us out of the room. Something about she ain't dead. What kind of idiot do you think he is? Of course she's dead. We were there the whole time. She hadn't been breathing for a whole hour or two. We know she's dead. And kicked us out. I bet I don't be in church Sunday. I bet I don't. Huh. If Jairus is going to treat us like that, I mean, he's the ruler of the synagogue. If he ain't got no more sense than to bring some prophet that can't tell she's dead to the house, then he don't even need to be up in the synagogue. Maturity will cost you. Maturity will cost the dividing lines. There will be people that will say, well, I don't believe that. And you have to say, it's your choice. I'm just telling you where I'm going. They will say, well, you know, God sometimes don't do that. That ain't what His Word said. I got to believe the Word more than I got to believe what I feel and what you say. And Jairus is standing there, and his wife is standing there. Peter, James, and John is standing there. And Jesus very calmly looks at the potential. He looks at 12 years, a number of maturity. And He says, right now the enemy wants to steal your marriage. So you're supposed to get married one day very soon. You're going to have children. You're going to bring them home to grandpa and grandma. And you're supposed to have life and have it more abundantly. And the enemy's come along to try to ruin this man's life. Imagine the ministry that would have been ruined in Jairus' life if he would talk about the healing God and the loving God. And they'd say, yeah, but look at your daughter. She didn't make it through. I mean, you talk about God being so great. But all of a sudden, Jesus says, I'm not going to let them steal the potential. He looks over at that little dead girl. He looks at her and he says, Talitha Kumai. Daughter, I say unto thee, arise. Her eyes blink. She starts to raise up. Jesus helps her. Turns around and presents her to that parents. Do you think at that moment they cared what them little old ladies on the outside were saying? Do you think they were really given any concern about who thought they brought the wrong prophet in or whether Jesus was the Messiah or not? All they knew was the fact that our daughter was once dead, and now all of a sudden this man who I've never understood totally and never truly can understand, but yet here through compassion and love, he's walked into my house and he's called miracles in my house and he's given my potential back. Now I can dream of grandchildren. Now I can dream of a grandson. Now I can dream of what will be and what will happen in my life. That's what Jesus brings. He takes us into pastures and into those pastures where we can eat and believe and have fulfillment in our life. And this morning, if the enemy has come along in your life and he's robbed you of potential, if he's told you you'll never make it, you've done gone too far, you had a baby out of wedlock, you did this, you done been divorced, this has happened to you, you done gone messed up, you were a drug addict for too long, I don't care what he told you, I don't care what he said, I've come by to tell you, the reason you're sitting here this morning is because when God looks down on you, He still sees potential. He still sees the work that can be done. You're in this place right now. And the only question is not whether God can or whether God will or whether God has the power to. That is not the question. The question is, do I have enough maturity at this moment to hold to what God says? He said that I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. That means if I'm sitting here right now and I have very little life and it sure isn't in abundance, then that means I am not truly connected to the one that I'm supposed to be connected to. And that lady with the issue of blood said, I got to get connected. Jairus said, I got to get connected. The man who had the legion of demons that was living inside of him, causing him to live among tombs, naked and living in graves. He says, I've got to get next to him. The reason I love that chapter so much, because there's so many times in my life, Kenneth, where I feel like, God, I can't. I'm not able. Too much has been stolen. Too much has been robbed. I've probably come further than I should have. I mean, from where I started, I've come a long way. So I figure this is about as high as I got in me. I guess I'm pretty much capped out. And God comes along and says, Tim, you think that's your full potential? Do you think that's as high as you can go? Then why do I give you dreams of higher? Then why do I give you thoughts of more? There's some of us sitting in this room that knows I'm supposed to do ministry. I'm not even sure all the ministry, not even sure exactly where I'm supposed to be, but I know inside of me I'm supposed to do more for God. Do you understand? That's the potential that God has locked up inside of you, and you're not going to be satisfied trying to find it any other where. The only way to get it truly fulfilled is to find Jesus, to call upon Him, to wrestle with Him, whatever it takes, and then finally hear Him say, here's where I want you to go, and this is what I want you to do. And He says, arise to those dead things in your life. If you're here right now, you say, Pastor, that's me. That's me. I know there's potential in me. I know I'm not supposed to die on this limb. And God has sent you by this morning to tell you, then why don't you do like that lady? Why don't you decide, I don't care what anybody else thinks, I got to get to Jesus. Why don't you be like Jairus with some maturity and say, you know what, I don't care what everybody's going to say about me. I just want to see my girl raised. I just want to see her come to life. I don't care what they say about me. I don't care whose feelings get hurt. I just want to get there. That's all that matters to me, is getting there. And this morning, some of you have got to decide. I can't do it for you. We can bring musicians up to the stage and they can play beautiful music, but they can't woo you into it. You have to finally decide in your life, this is not where I'm supposed to die. The enemy, yes, he's come along. And yes, he's stolen some things and robbed some years, and he's done some junk in my life, and he's stolen some things that I wish he hadn't stolen. But I know this much, that there is still potential in me. I know I hadn't reached my height yet, and I'm not dying today. Will you stand?